The Columbia Workshop. This evening we bring you an original treatment of one of America's most fabulous historical characters, Timothy Dexter. The radio dramatization of this amazing man is the work of a newcomer to the workshop, Charles Monroe. And now, the true story of Timothy Dexter, Cold to Newcastle. The opening scene, heaven. Heaven on a warm, sunny day in this year, 1940.
Hello, mister. Take a seat on this cloud. Make yourself comfortable.
Thanks, I will. Hey, I never thought it got this hot up here in heaven.
Well, why shouldn't it be hot up here in heaven, being so near the sun? Say, you must be new here.
Yes, I came just a few days ago, Mr.
Well, my name's Dexter. Timothy Dexter.
Yes, glad to know you, Mr. Timothy Dexter. You've been up here in heaven long?
Oh, just about 150 years.
Say, isn't that the angel Gabriel over there blowing that trumpet?
Yeah, that's Gabriel.
Must be something awfully wrong down on Earth to make Gabriel blow his trumpet.
Oh, no. Gabriel doesn't blow his trumpet just for cracks of doom. I imagine he's blowing it because he sees me talking to somebody, just to remind me.
Aren't you supposed to be talking to me?
Oh, Gabriel don't mind. He's just blowing because he's supposed to sound warnings whenever people try to ease around the truth.
Oh, are you given to easing around the truth?
Me? Oh, my, no. Well, maybe I am a little. I seem to keep Gabriel pretty busy. That's why he flats on his trumpet like that. He's tired from listening to me. I don't care what he thinks. He does flat. All right, Gabriel. You don't flat. How's things down on Earth, mister?
Oh, not so good, not so bad.
Ain't changed much. What town are you from?
Newburyport, Massachusetts.
You come from Newburyport, Massachusetts? Why, so did I.
What'd you say your name was again?
Timothy Dexter.
Heavens around us. Are you that Timothy Dexter, that screwball?
What's a screwball?
Why, sure, I've heard of you. You're the fellow who sent coals to Newcastle and made a fortune.
Yeah, that was me.
All my life I've heard of you. You're a legend.
I am not a legend. I actually lived. Very few people give a Superman like me credit for ever having lived.
A Superman? Were you being a Superman when you sent those shiploads of coal to Newcastle because you didn't know any better?
I did, too, know better. All right, all right. Drat that, Gabriel. Maybe I didn't know any better. But, mister, they told me that Newcastle was the coal center of the old world. So I figured they needed coal in Newcastle, and I didn't know that they shipped it. But when my boats got there, there was some trouble. No boats were available, so they took my ships and cargo at a handsome profit to myself.
Well, that's a mistake anyone could overlook.
It wasn't a mistake. Oh, well, maybe it was a tiny one. Though don't let me hear you say my buying those Continental dollars was all a mistake.
I never quite got that clear about you buying those Continental dollars, Timothy Dexter. You know, they still have a saying down there on Earth, it isn't worth a Continental.
Well, that just shows what fools people are. Just like they used to think me a fool, even though I made several fortunes. I was born in Malden, Massachusetts in 1743. Now, after the war against England, when our country won its independence, I moved to Newburyport because it offered a better chance for my business, which was leather dressing and dealing in hides. Well, one day, shortly after General Washington became our first president, I was in my shop, working busily at something or other, when my good wife, Martha, came in.
Timothy? Timothy Dexter, why don't you work nearer the window? You'll hurt your eyes working in that dark corner.
My eyes are as good as any man's.
How do you know your eyes are as good as any man's? Now, move up closer to that front window.
Now, that's a fine thing for a wife to be saying of her husband. How does he know that his eyes are as good
as any... Very well, then. You can use your eyes to find me some money. I must be going to the marketplace for some flour.
Well, how much money, Martha?
There, I knew it. You have no money.
I have, so. Look in my tin box there.
There's no need to look. I know there's naught but that worthless continental paper money in your box.
It holds several coins as well. Here, look for yourself. And don't call that continental money worthless.
It's not worth the paper it's printed on. Everyone says so.
Everyone says so. Do you not take your husband's word against everyone says so?
Morning, Timothy. Morning, Marty.
Come in, Nat Hawkins.
Well, thank you, Timothy.
Nat Hawkins, you go right back where you came from.
What?
Wherever you came from, go right back. I don't want you troubling Timothy in the daytime. Heaven knows you trouble him enough at night, keeping him down at Thad Green's tavern, drinking till all hours.
Well, now, this is a fine how-do-you-do. What's the trouble with Marty, Timothy?
Martha isn't feeling well, Nat.
I feel very well. Except when I look at the contents of this tin box of yours, Timothy Dexter. I suppose it was you, Nat Hawkins, who put Timothy up to saving continental dollars.
Well, did you say continental dollars, Marty? Did you say that Timothy was saving continental?
Aye, the fool.
I am not a fool. Oh,
saving continentals. Well, I never heard the like of that. Saving continentals he is, eh?
You'll see. You'll see, both of you. Mr. Hamilton declares Congress will back the Continentals.
Mr. Hamilton? Well, can Mr. Hamilton force the Congress to back worthless bits of faded paper? No, sir. People want the feel of real gold and silver in the palms.
Aye, Nat. For once, I side with you. I'd like the feel of a silver piece in my hand this minute.
I don't care. I'm going to save my Continentals. And then when the Congress backs them, you'll see.
Do you honestly believe Congress will do that, Timothy?
You heard me just declare it.
Say, you wouldn't be wanting more Continentals, would you, Timothy?
Certainly I would. I wish I had every Continental in Newburyport.
Timothy!
I wish I had every Continental in Massachusetts.
Timothy! Shut your foolish mouth.
I wish I had every Continental in New England, I do. You shut your mouth, wife.
Oh. Well, Timothy, I'd be very pleased to sell you the few Continentals I possess.
Sell me yours.
Yes, yes. I've only a few at my lodgings, but I'll be pleased to sell them.
Nat Hawkins, you'll do no such thing. Now, you leave Timothy and me in peace.
Just a moment, my fine lady. Are you inferring I have no judgment in business? Are you inferring that your husband is a fool in money matters?
Aye, and in everything.
Well, I'll show you I will, Nat Hawkins. I'll give you a penny apiece for every Continental you possess.
A penny apiece for my Continentals? All right. Have the coins ready, Timothy. I'll be right back.
Oh, but Nat, come back. Nat. Why, he's gone.
Office dead and ready. Have you heard? Nat Hawkins says Timothy Dexter is buying Continentals at a penny apiece.
What? Buying Continentals?
Yeah.
Timothy Dexter? Boys, that says old Timothy Dexter, the hide dealer, is buying Continentals at a penny apiece.
What does Timothy want with them?
I don't know, but he'll buy them.
I have a dog for them at home.
My husband says Timothy Dexter's buying Continentals.
That he is. My brother sold Timothy 1,000 worthless Continentals only yesterday morning.
Dear me, think of his poor wife. I thought of her every single minute my husband was there selling Timothy our Continentals.
By the window.
And what are you doing by the window? Looking for more people to send you their worthless paper?
It's not worthless.
I should say it isn't. Every Continental you've got's worth at least a penny. Every single penny we had in the world a week ago.
Was that all longer ago it was?
Hello? 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 Is anyone in the shop?
It's Lawyer Pickering.
Oh, here you are, Timothy Dexter.
Good day to you, Mr. Dexter.
And what is it you wish, Lawyer Pickering?
Only a word with your husband, ma'am.
You're not going to take our shop from us?
I fear I must, Mr. Dexter. Your foolish husband's creditors have asked me to arrange for proper settlement. They have bills here owed to many merchants who ask that I obtain immediate payment or...
But I'll pay.
When, Timothy? And with what? Not with your Continentals, be assured of that.
But we have no other place to go. How can I earn money if I have no shop, no home?
You should have thought of that before your braggart tongue got you into trouble, Timothy.
Well, if you'll give me just a little more time,
What's that noise?
Wait. There's a crowd coming down the street.
Nat Hawkins is in the lead.
Sounds, Timothy. I see many of your creditors.
Maybe it's just more people with Continentals to sell me.
Timothy Dexter.
Send those people away, Nat Hawkins.
Timothy Dexter will buy no more Continentals.
No. Ain't you heard the news?
What news?
You're rich. Timothy's rich.
What?
Congress has voted to back the Continentals.
Well, I'll be switched.
What's that? Congress has voted to back the Continentals?
Yeah, a writer's just brought the news. Here, Timothy, stand up.
Ain't in at a time like this.
Mister, as I look back on it now, after almost 150 years, and since I've got the perspective a man gets up here in heaven, maybe I wasn't sure exactly when Mr. Hamilton would get Congress to back them Continental dollars, but I knew he would.
Pardon me, Mr. Dexter, but wasn't that Gabriel's trumpet?
Sorry, Gabriel.
Was this before or after you sent those mittens to the tropic West Indies by mistake and made another fortune?
Mittens? Yeah. Are you sure you're not thinking of the shipment of warming pans I sent to the West Indies?
Oh, yes, I heard about the warming pans back down there on Earth. How'd you ever come to do that?
Well, I'll tell you about it, mister, because it kind of explains why I sent the mittens down later. After the deal in the Continentals turned out so favorably, I become somewhat of a gentleman of leisure. And one morning, some months after, I was strolling down the street.
Good morning, Timothy.
And a very fine morning it is, Isaac Morris. How's your trade these days?
Oh, not so good, Timothy. It's very poor. A fine stock I got, but no fine buyers.
Indeed. I'm sorry to hear that, Isaac Morris. But things will take a better turn soon, I'm certain. Of course, I've been making a fortune myself, but even so, these are arduous times, I must admit.
You have been very lucky, Timothy.
Lucky? You can't call good judgment being lucky.
Yeah, then I wish I had your good judgment.
Well, it isn't given to every man to be born with good judgment, such as mine. Have you suffered misfortune through your judgment, Isaac?
Yeah, Timothy. I had the very bad judgment to buy a large stock of warming pans, which I cannot sell.
Warming pans?
Yes.
Ah, well, come wintertime and everyone in Newburyport will need a warming pan in his bed.
But winter is further away than my creditors.
Are they good warming pans, I think?
Oh, I would buy nothing but the very best warming pans. Come with me, Timothy. Let me show you a sample in my storehouse.
Well, I have a little leisure. I'll come with you and look them over, Isaac. I may be able to offer you a bit of advice.
Good evening, Timothy.
Good evening, Thad.
Don't you like the ale in my tavern? How'd you become a rich man, Timothy?
The ale's quite satisfactory, Thad.
You haven't touched a drop of it, that's clear.
I'm not well tonight, Thad.
Perhaps it'd be wise if you went home. Slept a long night through, Timothy.
I don't want to go home, Thad. In fact, Thad, Mistress Dexter has forbidden me to come home.
Forbidden you?
Aye. Forbidden me. Despite the riches I've but recently laid at her feet, she unjustly accuses me of mistaken judgment.
Yet. But it couldn't be Continentals you're buying again. Everybody knows their value now.
'Tis warming pans I've bought.
Warming pans?
Aye. I bought a vast quantity of warming pans, only to discover that everyone in the state of Massachusetts has a warming pan. Tis very unjust.
Aye, very unjust. Well, if I didn't have a warming pan at the present, I'd buy one of yours, Timothy.
Thank you, Thad.
Yeah.
But 'twould be of small avail. I have half a shipload to be rid of.
Half a shipload? That's a thundering lot of warming pans, Timothy.
Yes, Thad.
Timothy, if I can help you sell those warming pans, will you divide the profits with me?
Yes, Thad.
Now, I got an idea, Timothy. A very good patron of my tavern, Captain Larson, owns a merchant vessel badly in need of more cargo before he can sail. Now, we might go to the docks and approach this Captain Larson with a proposition.
Sky. No ill luck of any kind. Good fortune has pursued us, certainly.
Yes, Captain Larson.
What's wrong with you, man? Fine voyage and your face is downcast. Why don't you go ashore like the others? Enjoy the wine, the pretty girls.
Well, I remain behind on purpose, Captain Larson.
On purpose? Why, Amy? Why?
I have a fearful confession to make, Captain.
A confession? What is it?
Well, that night that Mr. Green and Mr. Dexter came to see you, Captain, while we were lying in port...
Mr. Green, Mr. Dexter, my partners, what of them?
Did you ever inquire of them what that cargo was?
Inquire? Why...
Well, if you recall, Captain, you were ill that night.
Yes, a bit under the weather, but not drunk enough. I mean, not ill enough, not to know an excellent arrangement when it was presented.
But do you know what the cargo is, Captain? It's warming pans.
Warming pans? Yes. Excellent. I dare say my good partners, Mr. Dexter and Mr. Green, dispatched us with a very fine grade of warming pans. Lord above us, did you say warming pans?
I said, Captain.
Warming pans? Warming pans? And those two scoundrels knowing I was going to the tropics.
Aye, Captain.
Warming pans.
The nights are cool here in the West Indies, but not cool enough for warming pans.
Oh, I shall be the laughingstock of all the ports in the world. How can I explain how I happened to sign the cargo? How can I explain I was not myself? How did those conniving Yankees find me in that condition? When I get home, I'll have their lives for this. I'll see them lashed 100 times for every drop they poured down my gullet that night. I'll string them up, and then I'll walk them off.
Receive me, Timothy. Who can that be?
Well, if it should be Captain Larson returned, I'm in Boston.
You'll not be in Boston. You'll stay right here and face the music. I'll go to the door.
Are you Mistress Dexter's man?
I am, sir.
I'm Captain Larson, Mistress Dexter. I've come to see your husband. Oh, there you are, Timothy Dexter.
Now, Captain, let us discuss this peaceably.
Peaceably? Where's Thad Green?
He's in Boston with me.
Perhaps it would be better after that trick you played on me.
I played no trick. I played no trick, Captain.
Don't thrash him too hard, Captain Larson.
Huh?
Neither he nor that numbskull, Thad Green, knew the West Indies was in the tropics until I told him so.
You didn't know the West Indies was in the tropics? I can play the angry man no longer, Timothy Dexter. I sold every one of those warming pans.
Sold them?
In the tropics?
Aye, and at a handsome profit to all of us.
Those warming pans?
I sold them to the black boys as molasses ladles.
Molasses ladles? Story of Timothy Dexter sending warming pans to the tropics.
You certainly are the luckiest man I ever heard of, Mr. Dexter. So it was warming pans. And here I thought it was mittens.
Oh, it was. It was mittens.
Huh?
I sent them down so the workers wouldn't get molasses on the hands.
But, mister, they didn't care whether they got their hands covered with molasses or not.
Oh, so that's one deal you got stung on, Timothy Dexter.
Oh, I didn't lose on that deal. The captain in charge of my cargo of mittens sold them for a nice, fat profit to the captain of a vessel returning to Scandinavia.
Well, I'll be...
Yeah, careful, mister. Remember, you're in heaven now.
Oh, excuse me.
Well, after the warming pans and the mittens, I went into shipbuilding. Had a very interesting experience. Almost the first month I was a shipbuilder, too. Of course, I didn't build the ships myself. I commissioned a friend of mine, Master Prouty, to build my ship. But one morning, I went over to the yard.
So, Mr. Dexter, unless I have more stay stuff at once, you'll have to cease work on your ship there.
Is stay stuff important to my ship, Master Prouty?
Important? Why, it's the very heart and soul of a ship.
Then buy what stay stuff you need, Master Prouty. I'll foot the bills.
Stay stuff's very expensive these days, Mr. Dexter.
Money's no consideration. I want the finest ship on the seven seas.
Well, I only wanted your approval, Mr. Dexter. I'll order the stay stuff at once. Now, would you like to see how the work on your ship is progressing?
Aye. Lead the way, Master Prouty. Lead the way.
What is it now?
Marvey, what's stay stuff?
Stay stuff? Why, everyone knows what stay stuff is.
I didn't. It was only this morning.
Well, everyone with an ounce of brains knows it's used in corsets.
Corsets? In corsets?
Timothy, what tricks have you been up to?
Why, Marvey, I only asked. Stay stuff is used in shipbuilding, too.
A likely story.
What exactly is stay stuff, Marty?
Whalebone.
Whalebone. Whalebone. And is it scarce?
Well, it is not scarce at all. The price was very low last week when I had occasion to purchase some.
Aha.
Why do you say aha?
Marty, I have an idea. I'm going to buy up all the whalebone, all the stay stuff I can. I'm going to buy up all the whalebone in New England. And in another week, I'll control all the whalebone around. They won't be able to build a ship without coming to me.
Now, his warehouses are filled with whalebone.
Stay stuff. Is he going to put ships in horses?
Or beans in his wife's underclothing?
They say it is almost penniless he is again.
Why, fate has caught him at last.
Such fortunate is it, not for a good for a man.
And his wife standing there with a face this long.
I should say, Timothy Dexter, for a long time that should...
Oh, Mrs. Pettyjohn, the funny things you
the most beautiful woman here at the governor's ball tonight.
Ah, Monsieur Farquhar, you are too kind. You Americans have already learned it is polite to say pretty compliments, yes?
I am sincere, Mademoiselle de Goncourt.
I thank you, Monsieur. I understand, Monsieur Farquhar, you are the leading merchant in New York.
Now it is you who flatter me, Mademoiselle. Mademoiselle, not only as a merchant, but as an admirer, may I compliment you upon your gown?
Oh. Thank you, monsieur.
Is that the fashion in Paris now, mademoiselle?
Oui, monsieur. I bought it in Paris just before I sailed for America. The very finest ladies of France wear this new fashion now.
And the, pardon, mademoiselle.
Yes?
The effect that the, bodice is maintained by,
Monsieur inquires, as a, merchant?
Mademoiselle.
Ah, oh, now I shall not tease you, monsieur. The effect, as you call it, it is maintained, as you express it, by, how do you say it? By the bones of a whale.
But we must have it, Hemsley. It is a new fashion in Paris now. To make that kind of gown, we must have whalebone.
But there is none available, sir. The entire supply has been bought up by a Newburyport merchant named Timothy Dexter.
Dexter? Does he run a dressmaking establishment?
I don't know, Mr. Parker, but this Dexter seems to have a complete hold on the supply.
Oh, if I could but persuade this Dexter to allow me to purchase part of his supply.
Shall I write to him, sir?
Write? No! I'll take the fastest coach that I can to Newburyport. I'll plead with this Dexter until I have persuaded him. If I have to go on my knees...
that you've heard some of my other adventures while on Earth, I don't have to tell you that I made another tremendous fortune from the whalebone.
I never heard such tales in my life, Mr. Dexter.
Neither did I. Why, if they hadn't happened to me, I don't think I'd even believe them. But they did. They did. Every single thing I've been telling you on this cloud actually took place down there on Earth some 150 years ago in Newburyport, Massachusetts.
Did you have any more adventures after this last one?
A few, but not in the same high class as these others. After I made that fortune in whalebone, I built me a big house in Newburyport.
What was it like?
Oh, it was beautiful. Beautiful. Colonial. With minarets and gold balls all over the roof.
That must have been something.
And I became a collector. I collected wood statues. At one time, I had as many as 40 statues in my yard, all of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, and four lions besides.
But finally, you died.
Which time?
Well, you didn't die more than once, did you?
Well, first time I died, I didn't die.
I beg your pardon?
You're no more confused than the people that come to my first funeral. You see, I held a mock funeral.
Whatever for?
Well, it was my wife, Martha, forced me to it. After all that money I made for her, she still maintained I was only a lucky fool. And when I told her how lucky she was to be married to a splendid businessman like myself, she just sniffed. Just sniffed. So I held a funeral for myself to see if she really cared for me. Stood in the top story window to see how hard she cried.
Did she cry hard enough to satisfy you?
Oh, yes. But she cried for a week when I came back to life.
But you finally did die, didn't you?
Oh, yes, I died at last. Quite by accident. I drank myself to death.
What? You admit it was an accident?
Yeah. The first mistake I really ever made.
Columbia Workshop has just brought you an original piece entitled Coals to Newcastle by the well-known radio writer Charles Monroe. This was Mr. Monroe's first contribution to the workshop. Mr. Orff Bell played the part of Timothy Dexter, John Gibson, the man, Esther Sondergaard, Martha Dexter, Parker Fenley, Nat Hawkins, Joe Latham, Captain Larson, Vicky Vola, Marie, Peter Donald, Pickering, Maurice Franklin, Farquhar. Also included in the cast were Elsie May Gordon, Robert Strauss, and Roy Fant. The entire production was under the direction of Brewster Morgan. The producers of the Columbia Workshop requested that for the next 2 weeks, because of special broadcasts, no workshop programs will be heard. But the present series will be resumed at this same time, 3 weeks from tonight, February 22nd. Remember the time and date, 10:15, Thursday, February 22nd. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.